Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of RMU Chat. It's a brand new year here at RMU. RMU Chat is, of course, RMU Radio's premier radio talk show. It is our third season. We're so happy to be back. Eddie Shee on the mic right now, filling in for Ben Cole. Ben Cole, who started this show 3 years ago, has graduated. He's gone now. He left this in my hands. And with me, we've got some brand new co-hosts. We have Malik and Malik.
Double trouble.
Double trouble, Malik and Malik. Guys, welcome to the show. We're very excited that you're here. I'm excited that you're here. We have a brand new show for you this year, this season, this semester. We're going to be talking about some different stuff. None of us are that into sports, I think, in general. So instead, we're going to focus this show more on news, politics, arts and entertainment. Very heavy focus, I think, on music and movies is going to happen, right?
Yep, sorry, mm-hmm. Sports fans.
Sorry, sports fans. I don't think there were that many sports fans. However, Zach Laufer, we're going to see if we can get him in here a few times to talk to us about some sports, see if some big stuff happens. I know I'm going to speak off the cuff a little bit. We'll see. Maybe down the road, a certain football coach is going to get fired. Then we'll want to probably talk about that on RMU Radio. We are, however, going to start with somewhat of sports news. For those of you who aren't familiar with the format of the show, we have four different segments on the show, four different topics, and we just talk about them, give our opinions. The first topic, kind of sports related, but we're going to focus more on the news side of it. Colin Kaepernick. Malik, we got to figure out how we're going to distinguish which Malik. I can point to you guys here. You're going to have to know. We're going to have to distinguish the voices or something. Why don't you explain a little bit about what is going on with Colin Kaepernick right now?
So Colin Kaepernick, about a month ago, stopped standing for the national anthem a week after he started kneeling for the national anthem. But he's doing it in protest of a lot of the killings going on, police shootings specifically against African-American kids and adults.
Correct. And a lot of people are saying that he's being un-American, that he's being disrespectful to veterans. Me personally, I don't really see it that way. I think this is Colin Kaepernick expressing his right to free speech, expressing his First Amendment. What do you guys think?
I'm probably going to have to go with Eddie on this one, but still, I don't know Colin Kaepernick. Maybe mm-hmm. he's doing this just to grab some attention, get his name in the headlines. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Kaepernick is a second-string quarterback also, so I've heard a few theories that he's doing this to, he's what, in San Francisco, I think. He plays for the 49ers, correct? Yeah. He is doing this because he's second string. He doesn't want to be there anymore, so he's doing this to kind of cause some issues, and maybe San Francisco will release him.
Turn some heads,
maybe something like that. I hope he's doing this for the right reasons. I hope he's doing this because he cares about the issue. He wants to bring this issue to light. And he's not the only athlete who's been doing this. There's been other athletes who are joining in.
There's the one in Seattle, the football player, and there's a soccer player. Also, there was a hashtag for, like, veterans with Kaepernick.
Yeah. I saw an interview with, I can't remember his name, but he's a veteran. He's real famous now because he wrote a book, and he's missing an arm and a leg, and he was on Dancing with the Stars, so he's kind of a celebrity, I guess. And he was saying at first he was angry. He thought it was disrespectful, and he said, but now he's come around to the idea that Colin Kaepernick is just trying to hopefully spread a message, and it's an important message. And I think some people are getting behind him. My biggest issue with the people who are very upset over this, I've seen a lot of people, like, I've seen videos of people burning Colin Kaepernick jerseys and things like that. And I just wonder, where was your outrage a year ago when there's a video of Ray Rice beating his wife?
Yeah.
You know, where's the outrage when every year 55 or last year when 55 sexual assault charges were brought up against players in the NFL, and we have no outrage for that? And in Colin Kaepernick sits during the national anthem. It's all we can talk about for the last month. Here we are talking about it again. I think it's just a little ridiculous.
I think what's important here isn't the reason that he's doing it. I think mm-hmm. the fact that he is doing it. A lot of people could say, I can do this for money, and he is going out and he is saying, this is what I'm going to stand for, mm-hmm. and because of it, it is something bigger than just he is. It is now a thing. You know, we are talking about
it
for a
month.
We are
talking about it. Yeah, I mean, and maybe that's it. If nothing else, the conversation has been started. The dialogue has been started. I think it's a real issue Also, I think somebody has to speak out eventually. We can't... staying silent never gets anything accomplished.
Understandable. Hopefully this does, like, bring... Like, we're gonna see, like, more issues like this resolved better. Like, let's say, like, we'll bring, like, more issues with society like this to light, thankfully, like, with his actions like this. Like, hopefully, like, this isn't just, like, oh, he's grabbing attention, headlines, blah, blah, blah. That's, like... I think... The reason people are probably, like, more into this is, like, we're in, like, a weird time with America right now with the election, all that. It's just, like, to see someone, like, in a way what people see as disrespect America. It's, like, I guess it's kind of, like, throwing people, like, hey, you're disrespecting America, and, like, we're in an election year and all that, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a heated time in America. Relations are tense, I think you could say. Like, that might not even be the best way to describe it. Yeah, it's a tense time in America. Do you think he's helping, though? Do you think he's escalating the situation at all, or de-escalating the situation?
I don't think it's in terms of escalating or de-escalating. I think he's doing something, and that's more than most people can say.
Yeah,
I agree.
You see... A lot of times on, like, Facebook, you see the picture of the Olympian from, like, the 1960s who, like, raised his hand in protest.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. That's kind of what we're seeing now.
Yeah. I mean, staying silent definitely never gets anything accomplished, especially in topics like this. And I think one of the bigger things is so many people are staying silent because it's become a – I think we're really in a political attitude in this country where people just prefer to stay silent because we're afraid of – I don't want to say conflict, but conflict. We're afraid somebody is going to disagree with us, and that is going to be problematic in the long term. I think this is that coming to a head. I think that's one of the reasons we're in a position where somebody like Donald Trump can be the Republican nominee for president, because people have been so ashamed of their beliefs and trying to keep them quiet and thinking, I'm not having political discussions with anyone because that is nobody else's business and I'm going to keep it to myself. And when you do that, when you internalize your beliefs, you are keeping them to yourself. I think it leads to people becoming radicalized in a way. And I think that's one of the reasons I started my show on RMU TV, Politically Incorrect. I wanted to have an open dialogue with people. I wanted to get people talking, even if they disagreed with me, especially if they disagreed with me. Because I know my political views are not always right. And I find that talking to people makes it easier to find a common ground, or if nothing else, makes it easier to understand where people are coming from. And I hope that's what Colin Kaepernick really is trying to do. And I wish that is what the overreaching theme of this story was. Not people are angry at Colin Kaepernick. I wish it was Colin Kaepernick has started a dialogue. You don't have to agree with him, but let's all talk about it as a nation, as a group, to see how we're all feeling and how we all together need to address this problem.
Like, acknowledge, like, different viewpoints and all that stuff. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. Acknowledging other viewpoints, acknowledge, you know, there are people out there who view things differently. They have different experiences. That's a lot of what politics is. I think shutting down and not talking about this stuff, or just getting angry at Colin Kaepernick, does not solve anything. It just continues the path we're on, and I don't think that's necessarily a healthy path for the nation.
I hope people are more focused on, you know, the message and not just his action.
Like, hopefully, yes.
Like, people are like, all right, there's a reason behind this, not just, oh, he's sitting and kneeling at the national anthem.
Yeah, you're right. Like, don't you wish that was the real story?
Yeah,
like, if not, all the headlines are Colin Kaepernick sits during the national anthem. Don't you wish it was like Colin Kaepernick protests, police brutality amongst minorities? Like, wouldn't that be a better headline?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got something, Malik?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I thought you were going to jump in. Any last words of the Colin Kaepernick thing? I think we're all pretty much in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Open dialogues are the best. And that's what this show's all about, right? An open dialogue. We want to keep going. We're going to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more arts and entertainment kind of stuff. Less sports, less politics. We're getting into an RMU chat favorite. You guys don't know this from last year, but every single RMU chat last year had some bit of Star Wars news in it. So it's only fair to start this semester with a whole block of Star Wars news. And I know that's going to make Malik with an eye pretty excited.
Philly.
So we'll be back. You are listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio. And welcome back to RMU Chat on RMU Radio. Malik.com, where it's your campus, your voice. I'm Eddie. I'm sitting here with Malik. And Malik, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how we differentiate between you guys. We're moving on now. We just talked about Colin Kaepernick for a good bit. We're now moving on to Star Wars. This is a topic we're all pretty excited about, I think. Star Wars, like I mentioned, was a really big part of last year's RMU chat, so it's great to bring it back this year. As far as Star Wars goes, there's a whole bunch of Star Wars news. Actually, in my marketing class, not 30 minutes ago, my teacher was talking about Star Wars because Star Wars is a report just came out about if you put a Star Wars logo, a Star Wars character, anything on a product, it becomes something like 55 times more marketable to people, which I just thought was insane. So Star Wars is everywhere. We're even talking about it in marketing classes at RMU. The news we want to talk about, at least starting off, is Rogue One. We talked about this a little bit last year. Rogue One, we've got some new information over the summer. I'm most interested in the fact that Rogue One had to do some serious reshoots over the summer, apparently. They said it wasn't up to the standard of Episode 7, and they wanted to do some reshoots. Does that make you nervous at all? It makes me a little bit nervous, but I think back to, like, World War Z, when that movie came out, and they did a whole bunch of reshoots, and it ended up being the reshoots were great. I like that movie a fair bit. So I don't know. But then at the same time, Suicide Squad, they did a whole bunch of reshoots, and that didn't end up being exceptional for Suicide Squad. So what do you guys think? Reshoots a sign of bad or good?
See, the director, Gareth Edwards, I saw him in an interview. He's a major hardcore Star Wars fan. I can tell, like, when he's being interviewed, like, he's doing this with passion.
So I feel like there's actually a good reason for this. Like, he has, like, ideas and plans. They, like, I'm okay with, like, these reshoots, you know? I trust the director and everything he's doing. Yeah.
You think it's in good hands? I don't think Gareth Edwards was a bad choice for a director on this film. Yeah. I think he's got it. What about you? You think other Malik?
I'm for the reshoots. If it's not up to quality, definitely reshoot it again.
Yeah.
The question is, what does that quality mean? Mm-hmm. Because this movie is supposed to take place between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to, what are you looking for there?
Yeah, I've also heard a rumor this summer that Darth Vader is, like, definitely going to be in it.
He showed up.
I think that's confirmed.
He was in the last scene of the trailer, but you just see the back of his head.
You
hear the heavy breathing. It's like,
is that too far? Do they take it too far by bringing back Darth Vader?
I don't think it is, because, like, currently there are Star Wars comics where they just made Darth Vader, like, this unstoppable, evil, dark force that just massacres his way through everything. I really hope they, like, do this Vader that we see where he, like, takes out 50 guys in a matter of seconds. Like, I think for Rogue One, they need to treat Vader like he's a slasher villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this make Vader scary to the audience.
Yeah, yeah. I think it takes place between 3 and 4. You have to have Darth. I don't understand how you could have this movie without Darth Vader in it. I don't understand why people are getting so upset. And I'm with you. I hope Darth Vader is, like, a slash and burn, evil, evil villain. I think that makes great villains. I always think it's hilarious. Back when Episode 7 came out, me and my roommate Dylan, we sat down and we watched all the movies. But we watched 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And when I was watching 4, like, the lightsaber battle at the end, you're just like, oh my gosh, that's so lame. That is the worst lightsaber battle ever.
I still like that. Like,
really?
I think it's like an homage, like, classic sword fights. And
yeah,
all that.
I mean, it is. It's amazing in its own way. But then you look at, like, you know, Episode 3, and those lightsaber battles are just insane. So
Episode 3 is probably my favorite lightsaber battles.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, Episode 3, the lightsaber battles are the redeeming quality. I would have to agree. Rogue One, I'm sure. Rogue One's supposed to be a gritty kind of war movie, though.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be less of a Star Wars movie and more of a war movie set in the world, the universe of Star Wars.
It's funny you mentioned war movie. Like, you look at, like, the Empire, like, the stormtroopers was, like, walking the beaches. It looks like something from, like, Normandy or something like that, where it's, like, walking with their guns out in the beach. It's just a beautiful shot, too, of stormtroopers, like, in the water, in the beach. It's, like, guns ready, and it's, like, there's also the poster shows them, like, in a beach battle with, like, the rebels and all that. Like, a buddy of mine said a gripe he had with Force Awakens was not enough ground battles.
Mm.
And, like...
Well, I could see that.
He said, like, Rogue One's, like, this is the stuff I want to see in terms of like war and all that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting to have this. I think this is a good time to be redoing the Star Wars movie. Well, not redoing, to adding to the Star Wars movies. I mean, the special effects, that's another thing. Today, a special effects video of how they made the special effects for The Force Awakens came out. It's incredible. If you guys haven't seen it yet, check it out. It's amazing. It is such a time to be making movies. This is, and the results are good. I mean, you know, Force Awakens came out and we were all hoping it would be good. And it seems to me like Disney is willing to do whatever it takes to make this good. And I think they're in a good situation because, you know, you have to go back and do a $100 million reshoot on Rogue One. It's okay. The movie's still probably going to make $1 billion. So I think it would be better to spend $100 million, remake it so that it is the best it possibly can be, and please fans, because at the end of the day, that's all I want to have. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to go in and see a Phantom Menace and be like, oh my goodness,
this is
very boring and very political. I think a war movie is a good thing, a good direction for Star Wars to go.
It's gonna be very interesting, considering like this isn't the first. You know, it's called like a Star Wars anthology or a Star Wars film. This isn't the first. We have like the Solo Obi-Wan movie, the Solo Han Solo movie, Solo Han Solo.
Yeah. How about that? That was some other news this summer. The Han Solo cast is there. Yeah. Han Solo, Aldrin Emmerich. Who I have only known from Hail Caesar. Apparently he's a real up-and-coming star. Steven Spielberg loves him. The Coen brothers love him. If the Coen brothers love someone, I'm pretty much on board. How do you feel about that? In my opinion, Han Solo is my favorite character from Star Wars. Harrison Ford is one of my favorite actors. He's my role model. He was the reason when I was a kid who I always said I wanted to get married 4 times because I wanted to be just like Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford. He will always be the one Han Solo to me. What do you guys think? Aldrin Emmerich, will he be able to live up to Harrison Ford, or is there no living up to Harrison Ford?
I don't think there is. I think part of Han Solo as a character is that you don't know where he comes from. And
right.
I think going into that is kind of going to like, it's going to do the same thing for Han Solo that the prequels did for Vader, I think.
Yeah. I think one of the things for me that I always made Han Solo my favorite character, and the reason I think Harrison Ford was exceptional at Han Solo, was the fact that, you know, Harrison Ford didn't really like playing Han Solo. He never really wanted to be there. But Han Solo never really wanted to be there either. So it was kind of like, I think that came through. And this might be a stupid concern, but my concern is, you know, I'm sure Alden Emmerich wants to play Han Solo. I'm sure nothing will make him happier. I don't know if that's going to bring a weird dimension to the character. I don't know. Is that a stupid reason to be hesitant about Aldrin Emmerich?
My first thing was when I looked at him, do I see Han Solo? Do I see Harrison Ford? And yeah, I kind of saw a little Harrison Ford in him.
Yeah.
And then I heard where they're taking it for the movie. It's going to be, how did Han become the character we saw in A New Hope? And I'm like, all right, there have been like tons of stories saying where Han came from, what he did, and stuff like that. And I guess this is just going to be like, if you're a Star Wars fan, you used to like 7 books on the same one story.
Yeah.
Expanded universe. But it's like, I guess it's going to be really interesting. You know, I'm not going to like slam it down. Like, no, like they're going to ruin.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I will definitely go see this movie.
Yeah.
There's no question there. Is that the next one after Rogue One? Because I know they're alternating. It'll be like Episode 7, Rogue One, Episode 8, another movie.
Yeah, I think it is Han Solo.
Is it
one
Han
after
Solo?
That one.
And then the other one they're making is Obi-Wan or Yoda?
Yeah, I thought it was Yoda.
I thought it was Obi-Wan.
Yoda, but I've also heard Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I think it was called Obi-Wan. I think it was the Obi-Wan Solo
I think
movie.
They did
sure.
end up going with Obi-Wan, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Another thing in Star Wars that happened this summer, though, was they rounded out Episode 8. They're done with Episode 8. Malik corrected me on this. I thought they were done with Episode 9, because Mark Hamill shaved his beard, but you said, no, that's not true. We don't know what's going to happen to him in Episode 8, so there could be many reasons why he shaved his
maybe
beard.
Maybe Luke just like didn't like the beard and it's like, I'm going to shave it off I'm my lightsaber.
He did say he hated the beard. Yeah. He said it was uncomfortable. So
he looks great with the beard, though. He looked sucks.
Yeah. He like got in shape for episode 7 and he grew that beard. He looked pretty good because like 90s Mark Hamill, like early 2000s Mark Hamill. Don't get me wrong. I love Mark Hamill.
Oh, he's
great. He looks like a, you know, like a fat guy. And like, I mean, all he did was voice work, though. So. And he's one of the best at voice work, but this new Mark Hamill, he looks cool. He looks what I would want Luke Skywalker to like grow up and look like. That's what I hoped Luke Skywalker would look like. Any speculation on where this story is going, or are you just? I usually take like for episode 7, I tried to stay away from trailers, extended clips, articles. I didn't want to read anything about it. I just wanted to go in and watch it. I'm trying to do the same with 8. What about you guys? Are you reading everything? What is your strategy here for episode 8?
I am that guy for 8. I see all the set photos, all the articles, try to keep up everything. In terms of what I want for the story, I kind of want it to like, for anyone who knows me, knows I saw episode 7, I'm a big Kylo Ren fan. Mm-hmm. I want to them draw a parallel. I want to see Rey's training. I want to see Kylo's like extra training. I want to like see like, Rey's doing the Mark thing where she's running around the island with Mark Hamill on her back. And Kylo Ren's like doing whatever Snoke has him doing. Like, I don't know, washing his space car or something.
We talked about this last year. I want to know your opinion. Who is Snoke in the grand scheme of things? Who do you guys think Snoke is in the grand scheme of things?
I would love for him to be Palpatine's master. I forget his name.
Plagueis.
Yeah. I would love for that to be.
I think if he ended up being Darth Plagueis, that would just be the best tie-in to everything, you know? But then that's even better because it's like you've got this one group of people who is continuously ruining the galaxy for everyone else. This one family ruining the galaxy. And Rey, who's Rey's parents? Have any idea?
I'm sick of the Skywalker lineage.
I think all evidence points to.
She's got to be a Skywalker. They really teased it super hard that she was a Skywalker.
I tend to think she's a Skywalker also. I pre-episode 7, before watching the movie, I was guessing like maybe like she's Kylo Ren's brother or sister. Kylo Ren is her brother. I don't think that's true now that I've seen the movie because I feel like Han and Leia would have totally been like, oh, that's our daughter that we left on an island for some reason or left on a planet for some reason. I don't know. Do you think we're going to get an answer in 8? I don't think they're going to give us an answer in 8. I think we're going to have to wait till 9.
I think 8 is where we get it.
I think 8 is where we get it. I mean, the second movie, Empire Strikes Back, is where we found out. Luke, do you think they're going to just follow that format? Because so far, I guess they pretty much have been following that format.
It would be kind of cool.
It's a safe format to follow. It works.
It worked for, I guess, episode 7. Why not do it in episode 8 also? I guess you're right on that.
I also wanted to like touch a little bit back, like going way back to the Snoke thing. I think, I'm not entirely sure about this. Don't like take this to the grain of salt. I think there was a story where Palpatine, like way back when the height of the Empire, he sensed like massive amounts of dark side energy out into like the outer unknown reach of the galaxy. He like sent like all these stormtroopers, all these troops, all these people out to find it, and they went missing for several years, and they came back with they came back after the destruction of the second Death Star, fall of the Empire, and apparently like that they became the First Order, and apparently they brought Snoke out of that unknown reach of the galaxy. I'm not entirely I know there's a book with something like that. I'm not entirely sure if that's like Snoke. It's like it's that Star Wars Aftermath book, I believe.
Okay.
That novel that came out a little bit before Force Awakens.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that episode 8 is going to have to please us with that Empire Strikes Back didn't have to compete with is, you know, we have a lot of theories, a lot of questions we want answered. You know, I mean, when Empire Strikes Back was coming out, nobody was, like, concerned about who Luke's parents really were, you know? But I think episode 8's got some questions to answer. You think we're going to get those answers immediately?
I don't know. They have, like, an entire 30-year gap to fill.
Yeah.
And so I guess they're just going to, like, I think they're going to do, like, the route. It's Disney, so we're just going to milk this. You want the answer to this? Read this novel.
Read this book.
Play that video game. Watch that show.
You're right. If I was Disney, I probably would be doing it.
It's worked for Marvel.
It worked for Marvel.
They do the same thing with Kingdom Hearts, so.
You're right. No, I mean, you're right. They did do the same thing with King of Hearts, I guess. So maybe it'll be like a King of Hearts thing with Star Wars. Yeah. Maybe that's what we're about to get. We're going to take another really quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what everybody was talking about yesterday. I know we're 24 hours late to it, but that Apple event, all those changes to our iPhones and iPads and earphones. Oh, man, there's a lot of stuff. We'll be talking about that when we come back. Stay tuned. You are not going to want to miss it. And welcome back to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus your voice. Switching gears, we're talking technology. Yesterday was the big annual Apple event. We got to look at the new iPhone. We heard nothing about the iPad. We got to look at the new Apple Watch, iOS 10, and of course the thing, let's just say it, the thing everyone's talking about. Nobody cares about the new iPhone. Nobody cares about the dual images, the dual cameras in it that can't do 3D for some reason. Everyone's talking about the fact that there is no headphone jack. And
what the heck, Apple?
What the heck, Apple? Monday night, I was hanging out with Dylan and Zach Loffer from last year's show, and I said, I looked and I saw that, you know, the notes had been leaked early, and they were like, it's going to happen. There's going to be no headphone jack. And I said, this is the thing that will get me away from Apple. Like, if they don't put a headphone jack in, I am out. This is ridiculous. And sure enough, no more headphone jack. I think, if you ask me, I think this is a way for them to try and sell more of their headphones and more of their Beats, because if you want something that plugs in, Beats are the only headphone that plug in through the Thunderbolt cable, and they're going to give you the adapter when you buy the new phone. But you know how quick I'm going to lose that adapter? Like,
I think putting the adapter in is Apple. I think that's them saying, like, we know this is going to fail.
This is, oh my God.
No one wants this.
How about the video when the guy, like, announced it? He was like, this is all about one thing. Courage. And it was like, yeah, you'd have to be pretty courageous to just ruin your phones by, like, I'm serious. Like, I think this is the thing that gets me away from iPhones. I've always been an Apple fanboy, right? They released Same 4 thing. I went out and bought a 4. They released 5, I went and bought a 5. They released 6, I went and bought a 6. I broke my 6. I jumped into a swimming pool this summer. My phone died. I went out and bought another 6. And I was like, oh no, now I won't be able to buy a 7 in January when I usually buy them. Forget it. I don't want a 7 now. I'm going to stick with my 6 until that dies. And then maybe there will be enough backlash that Apple will just be like, all right, we're putting the aux cord back in. And the phone is still only water resistant. If you're taking the aux cord out, at least to make it waterproof. That drives me absolutely insane. And these new headphones that they've got going with it, the new AirPods.
Yeah, wireless. I'm just like, what?
Oh, boy.
You have to charge them now? And it's like, charge headphones?
There's nothing that bothers me more than wireless earbuds. They don't make sense.
They are stupid looking. They're so small. Like, how quickly are you going to lose? Like, I can't keep track of my wired headphones. I have 10 of them just scattered around my apartment. I don't know how in the world I would be able to keep track of those tiny little AirPods.
It's funny you mentioned, Liz. I actually lost my headphones for a little while, and then someone found them, like, hanged them on a pipe outside our dorm. I was like, whose headphones are those? Oh my goodness, they're
those
mine.
Those are your headphones. See, like, you're not going to be able to do that with AirPods.
Yeah.
And they're $150? Like,
That's the real thing.
That's criminal. The old, like, I always thought it was ridiculous for the wired EarPods
to
be
$30. Yeah,
$30. I'm not paying $35 for those headphones. Now $150, I think that's just insane for something you have to charge. You know, I know, like, and I have an Apple Watch. I'm wearing my Apple Watch right now. I love Apple Watch. I'm a big fan, a big proponent. I get it's not for everyone. The new series of Apple Watch came out. It's waterproof. I just said to you guys before we came back, I thought it was always waterproof. I go swimming with my watch on. Apparently, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I can't believe I haven't broke my $400 watch yet. And that's the other thing. They dropped the price of the new ones. The new ones start at $350 now. So it's a whole situation with watches that are waterproof, but a phone that's only water resistant. There's no home button now. What are you going to click? Like, what do you click? I don't know. I don't know if I'm in favor of these new Apple rollouts. Usually I get people get angry every year, but usually I'm the person who's like, I'm going to give it a shot. It's probably not going to be that bad. This year I'm an angry fanboy also. I can't get on board. And they didn't mention the iPad at all yesterday. It's the first time since the release of the iPad they didn't say a thing about it. Is the iPad dying?
I think tablets are on their way out.
Are tablets on their way out? I know they were the big thing, but
like, whatever you do on a tablet, you can pretty much just do on your phone. And plus, it's a phone,
yeah,
I guess.
New phones are as big as the iPad.
Yeah, it's like I have like the 6 Plus. And
so
it's like
you got,
really
you
big.
You got the big one anyway.
Yeah,
I have an LG phone.
Yeah,
probably the smartest one here at this point.
Yeah, like my dad had like an LG. It was like bigger than mine.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I guess iPads are on their way out. I still have my iPad too, but I haven't touched it in probably 6 months. I don't. You know, it's so slow. And Apple does that thing where every time they release a new iOS, they purposely make older phones a little bit slower to make it more difficult on you. I don't know if I'm going to update to iOS 10.
Whoever actually updates, just hit, I'll do it later.
I'll do it later. That's where they get me, though, because I hate having to hit I'll do it later every time.
Yeah, every 30 seconds. My phone.
I hate that. So they usually get me, but I am not. Because when I broke my phone this summer, right? Bought a new iPhone 6. It was working great, super fast. And then I had to update it to the new version of iOS to transfer all my contacts and everything and my pictures over. The minute I did that, brand new phone, not 2 hours out of the box, was running slower than ever.
I've noticed
that.
And
I just wanted to scream. I could not. I can't stand that they do that. It's, what is that called? It's like forced something. It's
throttling.
Yeah, it's something, and it makes it slower so that you get upset and you go out and buy the new iPhone. But not this time. I'll go to one of those deals where I'll get a Droid phone or whatever, and they'll give me the watch for free and a pair of VR headphones.
Join the dark side.
I'm close. I mean, I've got the whole ecosystem. I've got a MacBook, an Apple TV, an Apple Watch, an iPad, an iPhone. I got it all. I'm willing to get rid of it all if they keep up with this headphone stuff. And I hate the new MacBooks. There's no CD slots. There's only one USB drive. Oh, gosh. Apple just forces us into these corners that we're not ready to go to. We're not ready to get in there.
I'm just thinking how impractical those wireless headphones are going to be. Like, let's say, like, you, like me, I go to the gym. I use the treadmill.
Yeah.
My headphones are always slipping out of my ears.
Yeah.
So those things are going to, like, fall onto the treadmill. Yeah, someone's going to stomp on them. It's like,
I didn't think about that.
$130 just, like, boom. Like, let's say you're walking. Your headphones, you just, like, slip out. Like, you call on the door, like, something like that. Like, those things
where
are gonna get broken.
Where do you put them? Like, that's the other thing. Like, you know, you're walking to class, right? And you got your headphones in halfway through. Like, you gotta like, what? Take them out?
It's just like two of these, but like,
it's
with
just
nothing.
Two, but
it's just two of these. Just
I
put
feel
them
like if
ear.
I put those in my pockets, I'd like forget they're there. They're gonna through the washer really quick. Like, I just feel like there's so many bad.
Are those water resistant? Because if those go through the washer, I'm
you're out.
Oh,
you're out.
You forget your headphones in the pants too.
It's just, it's a disaster. It's, you know, they did this with when they switched from the 30 pin to the Thunderbolt, and it was like they're doing this obviously to make money. There's no reason. Mm-hmm. Actually, they should just use the charger that every other phone has. That would be exceptional. But then we all just kind of folded and started using Thunderbolt for everything. So I hope that doesn't happen with the headphones. I hope iPhone 7S or 7 whatever they call it comes out. And
it's
in a year, and they have at least an option with the auxiliary cable. Because the other thing I got upset about was my car. Like, I plug my phone in through the auxiliary cable. I don't want to have to now bring an adapter for my car to use my phone if I now I'm so out.
Listen to the radio like a caveman.
An Apple Pencil. Did you guys see about the Apple Pencil?
No.
It was announced a few months ago. Now they're like really pumping it. It's a stylus. It's like a $100 stylus. And it's apparently being marketed to like artists and teachers and writers.
But it has like the Apple symbol.
It's a little silver pencil with an Apple symbol on it.
So it's like
worth $100. And you have to charge it, and it's just it's something else.
For the new iPhone, isn't there like, I could have sworn I saw something about like stereo speakers in it now? Like something about stereo speakers?
Yeah, they have dual, because on iPhones right now, you only have the speaker on the one side. Now it's got both sides, and there's two cameras in your rear camera now, which immediately I saw and was like, we're going to be able to shoot 3D video now? That's cool. And Apple was like, no, you're not shooting 3D video with two cameras. It's for wide angle and for different focal lengths. And it's like, I guess that's kind of cool. I mean,
they already had something for that. It's that long take thing. Like, so
yeah, it's
point?
Well, that's it. Now you're supposed to be able to just pretty much do it, I guess, with one click. And I guess the focal length is the feature they're trying to get you on. Like when you have a camera and you can adjust, I want the board in focus, but I don't want Malik in focus. So I adjust it. I don't know. I think if I want to adjust focus on a picture, I might as well just bring my Canon, you know.
Why did they never upgrade the front camera? I've got these great pictures going out the front, but I really just want to take really good selfies.
Exactly. We just want to take really good selfies. Every time I turn my camera around to the front, it's like grainy. The color's not right. It's at that awful angle where you're looking up at yourself. I don't know. We'll see. This might be the end of Apple.
So they add another set of speakers and like take out the headphone jack. They're just making Apple users even more obnoxious.
Yeah.
To blast even louder and
basically,
more.
Basically, now you can be even more obnoxious when you're not using your headphones since you don't have an audio jack.
It's like using Beats and have them on your neck and blasting them out through there. It's like, what's the point?
Anything to make people listening to music more obnoxious. Now we're going to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be finishing out the last few minutes of our show with some talk on a big movie that started out this summer, Captain America: Civil War. We'll be right back.
Team Cap.
Welcome back to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. We're coming to the close of our show. We got a little bit more than 10 minutes to talk about our final topic, Captain America: Civil War. Now, I know we're going back a little bit with this. This movie came out in May, but it came out in May. I never got to talk about it on last season of RMU Chat, so we're going to be talking about this summer's movies. There were some big ones, some bad ones. We're going to talk about all of them over the next few weeks. As you guys know, you can always read my reviews for movies on rmucenturymedia.com. My title for this review was Captain America: Civil War, the year heroes couldn't get along, of course referencing earlier in the year Batman vs. Superman. And I talked a lot about that in my review. Batman vs. Superman kind of showed exactly what you're not supposed to do when you have superheroes fighting, and I think Captain America: Civil War kind of did it in the correct way. I might say in the correct way. What did you guys think? First of all, let me ask you, Team Cap or Team Iron Man?
Iron Man.
Team Cap.
Oh, I'm Iron Man. I'm a Team Iron Man guy myself. We can talk about it now since the movie's been out for like 5 months. It is so frustrating to me that Team Iron Man lost.
Did they lose?
Well, yeah, like...
I would say they lost. Like, I mean, at the end, Captain America was, like, about to crush Tony Stark's heart, and the Vision somehow got distracted by Scarlet Witch? What? Like, it was insane. Like, I think, though, overall, the movie was pretty good. I was happy with it. It just came out on DVD, it's coming out week. I think it came out like last week.
Yeah, maybe. I think the second, I think.
Very recently. The second. So about a week ago it came out. I'm definitely going to give it another watch. I thought As far as it goes, superhero movies, you guys will come, I don't know if you've heard me give this stump speech already, but I have a personal vendetta against superhero movies in general. They frustrate me a lot because they're basically cowboy movies. They're Wild West movies. It's a boiled down good versus evil. Your good guy's wearing red, white, and blue, and your bad guy's wearing some shade of black or purple. And this movie I liked because it was the spirit of a Marvel movie. It was fun. It was kind of lighthearted. But at the same time, we had this conflict between our two biggest heroes, the two most popular heroes. And they did it in a way where both sides were kind of wrong. Both sides were kind of right. You got to pick your team. I want to also throw out and brag a little bit. When I went to see the screening, at the beginning, it was this it was this title slide that came up, and it was like, tweet which side you're on using hashtag Iron Man, Team Iron Man, or hashtag Team Captain America to this Twitter address, and it was like at Marvel Studios or whatever. And I was like, yeah, what the heck, I'm gonna do it. So I pulled out my phone and like before the movie started, and I tweeted at it, and I was like, I said I'm gonna be a biased movie critic. I'm going Team Iron Man all the way. And watched the movie. I got out of the movie theater. And I looked at my Twitter, and I had like 200 retweets and like 200 favorites and a mention. And I clicked on it, and Paul Bettany, who plays the Vision, had sent me a video of him. And he was like, it was like him going like, I got to try and find it. Talk really quick while you find it. I want to play it for you. It was the coolest. And so that was just such a real like... I love the movie even more, so maybe I was a little biased in that way. What did you guys think? What was the highlight of the movie for you?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. My highlight of the movie was that end fight, Captain America and Winter Soldier versus Iron Man. I love...
Wasn't that so much more satisfying than the Batman versus Superman
it was,
one?
It was, and I'm glad that it stretched out like maybe a little too long, but like I feel like it was worth it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And like I said, when you're down at the end and you're just like, Oh, Captain America's got him. Oh, wait, Iron Man's got him. Captain America might... Oh, no. Oh, Captain America might have got him. Captain America definitely got him. I think it was satisfying. That's kind of what I want. I find too much we leave superhero movies... My real vendetta against superhero movies is we leave too much, and it's like, oh, our hero saved the world from a big swirling funnel of blue fire and smoke going into the universe that... some evil force has done something with it. Just, it's so mundane to me. Civil War was kind of, I don't want to say political because it wasn't real politics, but it had that like political aspect to it. It had a lot of similar aspects to Batman versus Superman, I think, just in a way more satisfying way.
I think what I wanted more out of Civil War was more politics. I loved Winter Soldier. I saw it 4 times, and it's still one of my favorite Marvel movies. And that was really political, or at least as much as you can get in a Captain America movie.
No, yeah, for sure. What do you think?
I absolutely love this movie. It's up there with like one of the best Marvel movies. Marvel's just been like a slew of like fantastic quality movies to me. Like, I loved all the MCU movies and products.
Yeah, no, they really have.
I think Civil War is like perhaps the most well done, well written. It's not my personal favorite. It's like really up there though. The highlight of Civil War for me is the fact that they have like this humongous cast of characters. Like Chadwick Boseman as Panther, Tom Holland's a great Spider-Man, Chris Evans.
Tom Holland was a great Spider-Man. I cannot wait for Homecoming now. I thought Tom Holland was the highlight of that movie, and I give that kid all the credit in the world. I can't imagine. You guys are what, 19?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can 18. You... 18? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so around his age, can you imagine being the new Spider-Man?
I felt so ashamed. Like, he's Spider-Man, I'm here.
You're sitting on RMU Radio with me right now. You could be dressed up like Spider-Man. All right, I found it on my Twitter. I want to play this for you. I got to brag. This is Paul Bettany, The Vision.
Edward, congratulations. You clearly make great life decisions. Team Iron Man.
So there was Paul Bettany sends me that video of him like sitting on this blue couch, and he's just like in his like sunglasses, and that's what they were doing. They were sending people, and I went through. Yeah. I saw, you know, they had Scarlet Witch, they had Tony Stark, but I was happy. Vision is my favorite superhero, so I was thrilled.
Did you see Paul Rudd's video where he's like going down the list of people who picked Team Iron Angel and like, you're dead to me, I don't like you, you're a terrible person.
Oh man, I thought that was cool too, the Giant Man.
Yeah, that's great.
It was that battle at the end with all of them. I thought that at an airport, like, that was, I think, where Tom Holland really was shining.
That
was the moment that sold me on Tom Holland. You know, he comes in and you can tell. I think you can even tell kind of when Tony Stark's talking to him in his bedroom. Yeah. I was kind of like, uh-oh, he's like a nervous little kid. And then he came out in the fight and was like making fun of people. And I thought it was exceptional. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Homecoming. I think beyond that, there were some really great film aspects. And of course, I think this is more the Disney side than anything. But, you know, they had the cinematography is something I think can be overused, especially in Marvel movies. They have this tendency to use camera movement to try and create depth in a scene, but it doesn't ever actually do anything. That's one of the principles of
their
filmmaking.
Fight scenes are usually like really shaky.
They're really shaky, they're really fast, they're not, you know, and they're cut so quickly that the cinematography sometimes gets lost. And, you know, I thought on this grand scale of all these superheroes fighting in all these different dimensions, especially when you get into something like Ant-Man or Giant Man, and he's huge and he's small, and you know, you're in an airport, you're on an airplane, you're fighting in all these different locations with so many different characters, so many different powers. I think the special effects just blow you away, though you would hope in 2016 the special effects always are going to blow you away. But I think this one was a little something special. And I think it was an emotional high after the emotional low of Batman versus Superman. I remember sitting in the theater, Batman versus Superman.
Just depressed.
And afterwards in a critic screening, a lady will come up and be like, what did you think of the movie? So we can tell the studio. And my exact words to her were, I think I would use the term flaming pile of garbage. And she was like, oh goodness. Captain America Civil War, though, I think... I think that really pulled through. You guys got anything else for Captain America Civil War?
Highlights for me from the movie, it's not just, for me it's the character moments where it's like Vision talking about the gem in his forehead, Panther and having that monologue with Zemo, and I absolutely loved Zemo as a character. Like, he's changed radically from his comic counterpart, but again, I think he works best, like he's not... He's a villain you get where, like, there's this one line where he says, like, I was holding my family's, like, corpses in the rubble and the Avengers just went home.
Yeah.
I got to him, like, all right, that's why he's doing these terrible things, because he lost everyone.
That was, I think, the weakness for Batman versus Superman. You introduce Doomsday, who's just this created monster there to create mayhem. No, you know, and you get this backstory that's a little bit better. It's enough of a backstory to give you a reason to have a villain. But it also is a small enough part to let Captain America and Iron Man be front and center on the center stage. We got a little less than 2 minutes left. Malik, what are your final thoughts on it?
I'm really excited for Spider-Man.
I'm with you. I agree with that 100%. I think Spider-Man Homecoming is going to be amazing. They got Zendaya as the new Mary Jane. I'm interested. Michael Keaton as the Vulture. Like,
it's crazy.
They got Shocker on set.
Yeah, we saw Shocker. This set is leak and all that.
This is something to get excited about. Like I said, admittedly, I'm not a huge superhero person, but this is kind of this new Spider-Man. Spider-Man always gets me a little excited. I was a big Andrew Garfield fan. I was a little bummed, but Tom Holland has kind of erased that in my mind.
I was going to say something like a little controversial. I'm going to say I read the Civil War comic. I think the movie did it way better.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think the movie did the Civil War.
Never read the comics, but...
It has issues. And I think the movie really did address it and handle them a lot better.
I've heard that the Civil War comic isn't like... It's given more praise than it deserves. So
really?
A little bit, yeah. I'm willing to meet you there. Yeah, it kind of is. Like, I think a problem with the Civil War... comic, it's super one side. Their writer is so on Cap's side to the point where he just makes kind of Tony the flat out villain of the story.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it better than this way. Yeah. Because, like I said earlier, you know, it's kind of the we don't know who's right, we don't know who's wrong. Captain America Civil War, overall, I say go see it. You say?
See it.
And you say?
See it.
See it. We got three C's it. Go see Captain America Civil War on DVD now. It's been out of theaters for months. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have left on this very first episode of RMU Chat. I'm excited to get back in the studio next week with you guys. This was great. Ooh. Great conversations. Woo. We'll have a whole bunch of different topics. Of course, we don't know what they are yet because we do current events. So thank you all for listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. I'm Eddie, Malik, and Malik, thank you guys for being here. We will see you guys next week.
Awesome.